There's been lots of Cuba news lately. The mysterious sonic attacks against U.S. diplomats there, for example. Damage caused by hurricanes. And today, new Trump administration rules for Americans traveling there. But if you want to know how Cubans are feeling right now, it can all be summed up by eggs.
One of the things that the last hurricane did was rip off the roofs of 100,000 hen houses across Cuba. All of the hens died so that there are basically no eggs now. However, if you know the right person, you can get them in front of the very elegant Nacional Hotel, which was the site of one of the sonic attacks. Apparently, I saw a Mercedes pull up and the trunk was popped open and 24 eggs were carefully taken out and carried into the hotel by a military officer. So that's something that Cubans certainly wish they had is eggs.
That's reporter Sally Jacobs. She's just returned to Boston from Cuba, and we wanted to know what she makes of these new regulations for U.S. travel to the island. The tourist industry had been preparing for a crackdown, but Jacobs says few people expected the new rules to bar Americans from setting foot in so many Cuban hotels and stores.
There was a list issued called the Cuba Restricted List that has 180 entities that American citizens cannot patronize. That includes about 83 hotels, including one of the newest, most elegant hotels in downtown Havana. And I think that set a number of people back. It was more than people expected.
Mm. Would you say this is a reversal of the thaw that Barack Obama started?
Well, it's certainly one of a number of pieces of a reversal. You know, if you step back and look at the big picture, there's a travel advisory out issued by State Department saying it's probably not safe to go there. The U.S. Embassy staff is down to a bare minimum, and now this comes on. You know, for a lot of Americans, that's too much. For a lot of Americans, it may be just easier to stay in Miami. If you do violate the terms of these 180 entities on the list, you can be subjected to fines or even criminal penalties. That's a pretty big disincentive.
So just clarify this. I mean, this is a list. So specific stores and hotels that Americans cannot go into, is that what they're saying?
Absolutely. One of them is the Abos Mundos, which is one of Ernest Hemingway's favorite hangouts. You cannot go there now and you might be subjected to a fine.
What is the rationale?
The notion is that most of these places are co-owned or run by the Cuban military or Cuban government. The idea is to cut off the source of funding to a government that the Trump administration opposes and ideally to funnel that money to other smaller entities. The truth is it hurts all Cubans really because it's jobs that everybody can have. You know, it's a whole economic system, but that's the theory.
This comes on the heels of this acoustic assault against staffers at the U.S. Embassy in Havana. What more do we know now about that whole incident? Well, incidents, right?
Right. There's not a lot more known now. The State Department has never said anything more about what the source is. Their posture has kind of been, until the Cuban government can guarantee the safety of Americans in Havana, we're not going to send people back. Really, there's been a stalemate. Nothing new has really happened.
So many Americans have continued to travel to Cuba. You were recently there and you spoke with one tour leader, Lee Gurnett, who is the owner of Modern Man Travel. He was staying at the Hotel Capri. That's one of the hotels where these sonic assaults reportedly happened. And Gurnett told you he had some curious preparations for his trip.
At our meet and greet party before we left, we created some aluminum foil hats that we all wore as a token gesture to deflect the sonic, whatever it was, the rays that were being directed at our hotels. We understand that that was really just kind of fake news. I mean, the hotel part, we don't really know that the embassy, I mean, we have to believe the news, I guess, that the embassy was in fact, you know, there were people there whose hearing was affected by that.
Yeah, tinfoil hat, a vital safety aid. But, I mean, a lot of people were taking and are taking these sonic assaults pretty seriously. What are the Cubans and tourists you spoke with thinking at this point about these sonic threats?
Right. There's a lot of speculation going on in the lobbies of hotels around Havana, and I would say there's probably three predominant theories. The first is that the Russians are behind this. They're trying to sabotage the U.S.-Cuba relationship in the months leading up to a change of guard in Havana. As you know, Raul Castro steps down in February. Two, is that it's some kind of a spy game gone wrong? This scenario is that there was monitoring equipment in either the U.S. embassy or other embassies and that it kind of went out of whack and hurt staffers on both sides. And the third is that it's nothing at all. Mm. There are some tourists that believe this was really totally fabricated by the Trump administration to reverse Obama's initiatives.
I was going to ask you, do you see any connection between these alleged sonic threats and the timing of these new rules and regulations on Cuba today?
In a background briefing by the White House, they said that there was no link at all, but certainly people speculate about that.
As for the sonic threats, I mean, you reached out to U.S. Embassy staffers who were evacuated from Havana, and many of them did not want to talk. But Colin Laverty, president of Cuba Educational Travel, says evacuated embassy staffers told him they wish the State Department had not evacuated them. Here's Laverty.
They felt strongly that they should be in Havana, and many of them said that they were more concerned about having to take their young children and change schools or have them miss their swimming lessons or other kind of life factors.
So, Sally Jacobs, you did speak with one former U.S. Embassy staffer in Havana. What was her perspective?
She, like many staffers, was very sorry to have been brought back. These people believe very strongly in the work they're doing. They've been doing it for a couple of years. They very clearly want to stay off the record, though. They feel that whatever they say is going to be used for political purposes. But she was also very clear that she and others do not agree with the Trump administration. But for the moment, they're going to keep quiet and hope they can go back to their jobs.
You've been to Cuba many times over the past few years. What is the mood right now?
You know, I've been there every year for the past 3 years, and I've been going there for over 20 total. But I really felt in my last visit a couple of weeks ago that the mood was really flattened. People are profoundly disappointed that the things fostered by the Obama administration are not happening. Little hotels on the beachfront, the Malecon, are not opening. A lot of people are really down. It's a time that feels kind of dark, and it feels like the gates are beginning to close.
Reporter Sally Jacobs, just back from Cuba. Thanks very much for coming to the studio.
Thank you.
Sally Jacobs' coverage of Cuba is supported by the Pulitzer Center for Crisis Reporting.